In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Oh, Christ is among us.
He is among us.
Thank you. Thank you. The gospel lessons for these Sundays after Pentecost are generally related to the church and her mission in the world. And we'll have these until September 14th, and then the focus will switch a little bit. September 14th, the Sundays become known as Sundays after the cross. So right now, flowing out of Pentecost, the Gospels are almost always related to some element of the church and what she is doing in the world. Today, the Gospel passage ended with the words, quote, "And Jesus the Christ was going about all the towns and villages, teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every kind of disease and infirmity in the people." End of quote. The church, which is the body of Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat that. The church is the body of Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So it's not an institution. And it's not some abstract idea. And I think too often we say it's the body of Christ and forget the church is also the communion of the Holy Spirit. Or sometimes we'll read our fathers saying it's the community of the Holy Spirit. And what is the church doing? It's doing exactly what Christ is doing, because the church is the body of Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So the church is going about all the towns and villages of the entire world, teaching and preaching the gospel, the kingdom of God. And while she doesn't necessarily, or her primary mission is not to cure physical ailments, physical infirmities, though it does happen. We have the anointing of the sick as one way, and of course, through prayers by the priests and the bishops, healings do actually happen in the body. The church's primary mission is to bring healing to the most harmful disease or diseases, sin and death. Those are the two most deadly diseases that afflict the human race, sin and death. And the world will react toward the church just as it reacted to our Lord Jesus the Christ. Because if the world did not accept Christ, then why would the world accept the church? Because the church is inseparable from Christ. The church brings no other message, no other word, no other definition, brings nothing else than what Christ began in his incarnation. And therefore we read our Lord saying these words in John's Gospel. And I quote him, "If the world hates you, know that it first hated me. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world therefore hates you. If they have persecuted me, know that they will persecute you." As the body of Christ and as the communion of the Holy Spirit, the Catholic Church, therefore, will never, never, never be popular in the world, will never be popular in society, and will not be received by the world. We never have, and we never will. Just the opposite. The more faithful the church is to her mission, the more the world is going to despise, hate, ostracize, and alienate the church, you and me. Because the church is not an institution. The church is the body of Christ, members who have been baptized, and therefore by baptism, joined to the body of Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel passage is yet one more example of how the world attacked Jesus the Christ. In response to the work of Christ, the scribes did what? They accused Jesus of being the devil and the worker of demonic activities. And in the end, we find the God-man rejected. At the end of his life, he's rejected, stripped of everything, and hung naked on the cross, nailed to a Roman cross. When the church is faithful to her mission, she too will be crucified. You and I will be crucified. Did our Lord not say, take up your cross and follow me? He never, ever made any other promise. Do not be surprised then, or despair, when you hear about the church mistreated. It's expected, and believe it or not, welcomed. Because when the church is being mistreated, it means we are being faithful to Christ. My friends, my brothers and sisters, therefore, never, ever, ever give in to those horrible sins of the heart, discouragement or despair. Instead, we learn from the life of St. Paul and his writings. We learn from the life of the apostles and their writings. We learn from the lives of the martyrs. To rejoice when you suffer with Christ. To rejoice when the world rejects the message of Christ. To rejoice when the teachings of the Lord are attacked. Why? Because then you are close to the Lord, and the Lord is close to you. That's one of the reasons why our liturgy, our sanctoral cycle, is so filled with the martyrs. Martyrs every day, 3, 4, 5 of them every day. Because the church is telling us something. They were the ones who most radically held the teachings of Christ and were most radically transformed by the Holy Spirit. Now, one reason the world is quick to judge and condemn Jesus the Christ and his body is because they'll accuse the church of contributing little to the betterment of life on earth. They will ask, what good has Christ and his body done in the world? And this became quite prevalent in the 1700s and 1800s, and it just continued into the 20th century. Does the church have any relevance in the world? And then certain apologists, Catholic apologists, and certain members of the hierarchy, especially in the last, I'd say, 100 years, attempt to try to give proofs to how the church is relevant in the world, has helped to make the world a better place. And they'll point out the Catholic scientists and the Catholic artists and the Catholic social workers and the Catholic doctors and Catholics in medical science, Catholics in the world who are world leaders. And yes, there are many out there, Nobel Peace Nobel Peace Prize winners in all the areas of the arts and sciences. And yes, when you read their lives, some of them were rather holy men and women. And it is a fact that in the course of 2,000 years, the church has contributed greatly to the history of mankind and to the betterment of mankind. Who's the father of the modern-day hospital? Saint Basil. Who's the pioneer of the university system? The church. Men like Saint Thomas Aquinas, Abelard, Anselm. But I caution us about doing that. In one sense, it doesn't matter if the church has made any contributions to the betterment of mankind on earth, because that falls in the trap of human-centered thinking and worldly justification. Jesus the Christ the God-man did not become incarnate to make the world a better place. He did not come to give us the perfect form of government. He did not come and gave us the plan to how to end poverty or how to have world peace. Nowhere in all the Gospels or in all 27 books of the New Testament did our Lord ever say anything about that. Jesus the Christ came to the world to bring out of death and enslavement to sin, mankind. Jesus the Christ came to bring us the kingdom of God. He came to bring us communion with God. Jesus the Christ became man, that man may become God. He did not come to make a better life on earth. And such has been a dangerous thinking of too many Catholics in the 20th century. And those are not my words. Read the writings of Pope Leo XIII at the turn of the 20th century, and he warned the Catholic Church, he warned the baptized faithful that we become too centered and too focused on how to live a better life on earth. And we're forgetting at that time, this is 150 years ago, we're forgetting how our real destination is not how to live happier on earth. It's how to live eternal happiness. As the body of Christ, as the communion of the Holy Spirit, that's the mission of the church. That you and I and every single human being become a participant in the life of the Trinity. My friends, the greatest tragedy for any person, the greatest tragedy is to die without baptism. That's the saddest. It's not the coronavirus. It is to die without baptism. And the worst tragedy is not to become divinized. The Lord came to liberate the human person from the slavery to sin and death, the slavery to disordered acts of love, the slavery to disordered passions. The secular world dismisses these teachings as mythological expressions of sociological problems, as if it's irrelevant. Today's gospel passage, however, reveals a Lord who came to that human person, basically representing those two blind men representing the human race. He came to give the human race sight. True sight, and he came to give freedom to all those subjected to demonic powers. That is, those who are subjected to the ways of disordered living, the ways that disfigure the image of God. Today's passage reveals the Lord who liberated a dumb, possessed man, that man, and in turn all the human race, may fulfill a great vocation to give words of praise to Almighty God. The essential mission of the church is to forgive sins. Her essential message, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The result is divinization. Christ is among us.